Hello, welcome to another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
All right, this is a week 13 wrap-up edition. The Patriots are sitting pretty at 10-2. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I feel like
as good as it gets.
Pencil that in every year. Despite whatever happens in September, you can just be like, yep, 10-2.
That's awesome. Yep, defeat the Bills 23-3, something we expected. Lower scoring than we expected. But
yeah, it took care of business. That's about
just
it.
Just took care of business. Yep.
It started damn good. Started from the I was attending this game. I had the great fortune of going out to Western New York. Dude, it was like 40 degrees. It was great.
It's pretty damn good.
40, 45, maybe even 50. But I had an alcohol blanket going. I showed up to the game. I'm sitting in the end zone and I miss like half of the first drive. And so the Bills are marching on their first drive. I'm like, oh shit, our defense is back to being dog shit. And they're coming towards me in the end zone. I was watching the game in, and I see on first and goal, LeSean McCoy split out wide to the offense's right, and he's being covered man to man by Alandon Roberts. I'm like, oh shit. Roberts can't cover him at all. Like, yeah, we're screwed. And Tyrod Taylor saw the exact same thing, but he didn't realize Eric Lee was sitting directly in the passing lane, throws it straight to him on first and goal, and everything was going the Patriots' way after that.
Pretty much.
It was great.
It didn't stop. It was awesome.
Underrated part of that play, Alan Branch putting serious pressure on Tyrod.
Mm-hmm.
Getting kind of in his face, affecting the throw, affecting maybe the visibility. But well, yeah.
Since we're there, let's just talk about the defense in general.
Eric Lee,
sack and a half, couple tackles, interception.
Passes deflected.
This is a practice squad guy 2 weeks ago. They put him in, and he is making by far the most of his situation.
Yeah, he's not that stout in the run game. He's listed at 260. I'm not sure he's even that, but long arms, affects passes, gets to the quarterback. What
awesome.
A steal.
Yeah. It's like, where did he come from? So you had him. Marquise Flowers was in there a lot. He's playing solidly. Van Noy was playing well until he had to come out because he had like a hamstring or ankle injury.
I think he's still getting over that calf. So
is it the calf?
Yeah, okay. He's on a pitch count a little bit.
But I mean, they let up 3 points. This is by no means a great offense, but I mean, these are guys that have at least scored, 20-ish points roughly in several games. But it's just the defense
It's an NFL team.
An NFL team, and the defense is just rolling. I mean, they're giving up some yards. We were talking before, we're top 10 in points right now, points allowed. We're ninth with 18.5, and I think that number is only coming down. We'll just see what happens with the Steelers in a couple of weeks. But David Harris had a sack and a half. Yeah,
that was this year. I know. Well, I had to ask you two times to figure out that point scored number is over the entire season.
Yeah.
It's like, what? No way.
It's crazy.
No way.
With all the shit we did in the beginning of the year, that's unbelievable. Plus, yards, we've always been last. Now we're 28th, so we're not the worst there anymore, which is nice. David Harris had a sack and a half. I don't know what's going on, but it seems like in the fourth quarter now, we dial up the pressure, and they're really fucking good at it.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how much of that is schemes that they have put in place earlier in the game.
Yeah,
to just set up different blitzes. They give you one look repeatedly, and then they throw that curveball when they really need pressure.
And they're doing it all the time, and it's very effective. I mean, it seems like now in the third and fourth quarter, it's like their quarterback is constantly under duress, like constantly. And we don't. And this game we had 4 sacks. The game before we had 6 or 7. It's like, okay, now. I mean, now they're starting to roll. It's like we don't have the players to do that. We're missing our best pass rusher in this game, and we have 4 sacks on a mobile quarterback with a decent offensive line. It's not like they're a bunch of scrubs over there.
Yeah, luckily for us, they have almost no talent on the outside.
Correct.
And we can cover these guys up pretty easily. Tyrod Taylor twists his ankle, I think, on one of the first plays of the game.
Yeah, that's true.
But he was still moving fine. He was moving fine. The guy had an 18-yard run that could have been way longer if he didn't step out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
They averaged 3.4 yards per attempt in this game. They threw 34 passes for 85 yards. 3.4 yards per attempt, that is less than half of probably the worst quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
You're talking about...
awful.
Yeah. Our pass defense was incredible this week. Run defense could have been better. For sure. There were some long runs, tackling, even just finishing plays at the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
has they can definitely put on a bunch of plays from this game and be like, yo, we need better effort. We need gang tackling. We need people to grab onto these running backs. Shady's a good player, but when you – I mean, Travaris Cadet was running on us. He probably had one of his best rushing days of his career. That guy came in – remember when he was with the Pats? He came in, he had 5 career carries for a running back. He had 4 in this game for 22 yards.
I mean, some of it is part of it, you know, if we're all giving nothing up in the pass, who fucking cares?
Oh, yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah, but
we're
still.
We're 20-3 or 23-3 going into the fourth quarter. It's like you can run the ball all you want.
Yeah.
We don't really care.
But, and then Brady went 21-30, had no touchdowns, which kind of sucked. One interception, which I thought was complete bullshit, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Not his most solid game, but definitely nothing damning.
The real thing...
Solid overall, because we had a bunch of rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, we had 2 rushing touchdowns, both Burkhead. Deion Lewis played great again.
Burkhead,
he's incredible.
Great.
The thing about Brady's performance, there were really 2 critical plays. They were both third downs in the red zone. I don't think they were quite third and goals, but we took big sacks.
Yes.
On third downs in the red zone, and those are massive plays. I remember one of them was Kyle Williams. The other one, I can't remember. But when you can't protect them, and people got to get open earlier than that as well. Mm-hmm. But if we convert those plays, maybe you're looking at a couple more touchdowns.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Brady threw 21 for 30 is pretty damn good.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
It's over 60. That's over 67%. I mean, that's good. Like you said, Deion Lewis had 92 yards.
Did you see that stiff arm?
That was awesome.
That was
like
an Earl Campbell stiff arm.
Yeah. He just took off.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
That's so embarrassing for that safety. This guy is way smaller than me, and he just torched me.
Like you said, Burkhead, 2 TDs, 78 yards, real solid there. James White had a couple carries. Receiving-wise, it was really Gronk's best game. Receiving-wise, 9 receptions, 147 yards, which is great. Should have had some touchdowns, but the pass interference on him is getting out of hand.
It was almost entirely in the second half for Gronk,
yeah,
too.
Pretty
just
much.
Went off.
Yep, Amendola had a couple catches. James White had a couple catches. Cooks, not so much.
Our receivers were non-existent, essentially.
They weren't even looking at him.
Yeah.
So
as soon as they started to find Gronk in the middle of the field, they were like, well, fuck all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just keep throwing to 87.
So overall, I mean, not a whole lot to say about this game. 23-3, pretty damn good. One of the big things that came out of it, Gronk got suspended for a game because of a situation that happened after the play. So basically on Brady's interception, Brady throws it up. Gronk kind of just gets pushed out of the way. And the guy kind of just pushes Gronk, turns around, catches it, and gets tackled. Gronk thinks it should be immediate flag, gets all pissed off, and does something he should have never done and just kind of jumps on the guy and smashes him. And the guy gets concussed and is pretty fucked up from it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really terrible. Because what's his name? Tre'Davious White, right?
Yeah.
He's on the ground, face down, on the sideline. Like it was like 4 seconds or something like that after the play. Gronk comes over and smashes him. And I doubt that he meant to injure him. I bet it was just a complete outpour of frustration and emotion. But he hits him in the back of the head when he's in a completely defenseless position. It's unbelievably unacceptable.
Yeah, you just can't do that.
You can't. There's no place for that. That's terrible. And anybody that is defending it, I don't even know anybody that's defending it. I guess people are kind of explaining it a little bit when you go, he's obviously, that's not like a premeditated something. That's just something that boiled out of him.
Right. I mean, he's never done this
before.
And
he doesn't have a history of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, for me, everything in the NFL,
he absolutely should be suspended.
Yeah, I mean, he should probably be. I mean, I don't have any. There's other things this year that haven't been suspended, so I was like, nah, he might not get suspended. But when he did, I was like, all right. I mean,
it's not a football play.
It's very justifiable to suspend him on it. The people I've heard defending him said that because when AJ Green basically choked someone from behind and started throwing punches, he didn't get it. Suspended for that. I don't know why he didn't get suspended for that.
I know. He got ejected from the game. That's what they think. Is that if you get ejected from the game, it functions like a suspension. I don't know what they do with your game check if you get ejected.
Right.
Because when you get suspended, you lose a game check. I don't know if the same thing happens when you're ejected.
So, yeah. I mean, for Gronk, the only way I can even remotely defend him is if you know, somehow he didn't think the guy was down or nobody touched him or something.
He's laying on the white. It's over.
Yeah, it was over.
It was bad. I mean,
it was really bad. So he got a game suspension. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say it sucks because this is one of those things that builds you a reputation.
Right.
And now he's going to have a reputation as, I wouldn't essentially say a dirty player, but I don't know, somebody who is not in control of themselves, not trustworthy on the field maybe. And it's not going to help. His whole complaint is that he got held on the play. He absolutely got held.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I get held all the time, and I'm the one that gets called for offensive pass interference when I try to break away from these guys that are holding me. And he's got a big point.
Oh, he does. So the one thing when he apologized, which was good, but in his apology, I think he went a little off talking about how he gets held all the time. I think he should have waited a little bit.
Oh yeah, for sure. He should have just been
the apology. Yeah, I was wrong. That, you know, I'm so sorry. Blah blah, all that good stuff. And then made that point more clear at the end. But he does have a point where, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they called two or three flags on the guy. It's like Brady said it the best. He's like, that's the laws of inertia. He is 260 pounds going against guys that are 200 pounds. If he's moving and stops, those guys are going to go back. Like, if he goes anywhere near them, it's just they're going to move. It's like you can't. It's a reaction to his action. There's nothing. It's not like he's pushing people. He's just going up, stopping. They're hitting him and moving away just because of the way physics works. It's like, that's not.
There we go.
You know,
just throwing some casual physics references out there. He definitely has. I've seen him push off tons.
There
of
has
times.
Been.
He's
has
absolutely been. Pushed off in the past, but he is targeted for the same reason. You see it in basketball all the time, that the whole Shaq Dwight Howard thing, where if you touch them, it doesn't really affect them, so it doesn't get called. But if they touch you, it affects you, so it gets called. And it's like, that's a total double standard. But you gotta feel for the refs a little bit too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a tough situation. He's a difficult player to officiate.
Well, it's like, just, it's one of those things where you see in the NFL where if you get called for something, they start looking for it. And Vontaze Burfict, I think, is a perfect example. I mean, I think he's kind of a prick, but he said, you know, they're gunning for me. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. If, okay, you've made this
stop
penalty a few times.
Stop hitting people in the head, man.
Well, that's what just I would as say an example Burfict. Purpose, you know, you can tell it for the NFL. Like, they favor people. You can tell officials favor people. Like, in the past, a few years ago, not really much anymore, but when Brady would call for a penalty, he would likely get it.
Yeah. Yeah,
so now
that's
like,
exactly what I was going to say. I was wondering if you're going to bring that up.
You know, like, I mean, yeah, we all saw it. It was great for us, but, you know, it wasn't necessarily fair and or not fair all the time or whatever. And so Gronk is on the other end of the spectrum where it's like, okay, we've saw him pushed off. We've had guys complain about pushing off. We're just going to flag the shit out of him.
Yeah, we're going to look. You see it with offensive linemen who have reputations for holding.
Right.
And they will repeatedly rack up holding penalties. What about this one? Actually isn't fair, but Brandon Browner, who did hold a lot and you could mark him down for two penalties a game.
Right.
And they were usually justified. I will say
those were usually justified. But so the problem I think I have with the Gronk suspension and other people have is, like, where is the line for who's getting these one game suspensions and not?
They're doing a terrible job of it. They're just carpeting everything with the same exact punishment.
Right.
And it's like, where? How, these things are not the same play. Obviously,
right.
Gronk's play, which happens after the whistle, well after the whistle, versus something like what we saw on Monday night where George Iloka's hit was in the end zone. Mid-play, Antonio Brown had 1 foot on the ground.
I can't believe
it's mid-play.
I can't believe he got suspended for that.
I mean, did he hit him? Was it helmet to helmet? It looked like.
I mean, it kind of was helmet to helmet, but it's hit. Like, if you've never done that before, isn't it a fine?
Yeah, it should be if it's helmet to helmet, it should be a penalty and then it should be a fine. That's the way the rules are. That's the way it should be set up. That's the way they've been legislating
they
this whole
him.
Thing.
And then also Juju Smith-Schuster got a suspension for a crack block crackback block. That's a funny word to say.
Crackback.
Yeah, crackback when I don't know if it was on special teams. I don't know if it was a punt return or a kick return, but he's running down the field. Burfict's running. Burfict's looking at the ball carrier, and Juju Smith-Schuster just pops him hard and then stands over him and yells at him when Burfict's clearly injured, which is not right. I mean, you're not supposed to do that, but like you said, I mean, and everyone else is saying too, we all know what Gronk did. is significantly worse than both of those plays those guys did. And you can say that Juju Smith-Schuster's is worse than whatever his name is, Aoki or
George Iloka.
Iloka in the end zone. Like, his should have been just a small fine problem, or fine. Schuster, maybe a big fine, or maybe a game. And Gronk, a game. Or you, I mean, if you want to step it up to two, you could have, but then there would have been a whole outlash that, well, you're suspending him for the Steelers game. That's someone's pulling strings here. So it's just, where is the line there?
It's classic NFL. Classic NFL.
Classic NFL.
We just decide whatever we want to decide.
You're right.
And
it's all based on perception, too. It's like how pissed people get. And someone was saying that on ESPN, and I was like, I couldn't agree more with him. It's based on the uproar. It's like, oh my God, what a heart. Like, everyone's freaking out about that game the Steelers had versus the Bengals because it was so hard hitting. Yeah, it's a hard hitting fucking game. It was also just sloppy ass football. That's what you get sometimes. The Bengals aren't a good team.
Yeah.
Nor do I think the Steelers are a good team. That's what you get.
Steelers are a good team. They might not be a great team. I bet this isn't provable, but if the Gronk hit never happened on Sunday, and the Juju Smith-Schuster hit never happened on Monday, there's no way George Iloka gets suspended for that hit.
No.
There's no way. But the preceding things, it's like it built it up, and then anybody that approaches anywhere near that, then they're going to get the full punishment. And it's just classic NFL stupidity, just bumbling over themselves. Then they'll get on TV and go, we evaluate and blah, 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 and we got former player and that former player, and can't you believe us?
Right.
It's mess.
It's a joke. And I mean, people are getting fed up with it. You know, people right now, on ESPN, is football too violent? Is football too violent? Like, what are you guys fucking talking? That is the game.
Yeah, that's the game.
And what's his name had a great point. Tim Hasselbeck goes, on the crackback for Juju Smith-Schuster, he goes, don't forget, this is how Hines Ward got famous.
That's how he made a living.
He was huge on those crackbacks. He would kill guys. Yeah. When they weren't looking, and he would crush them, and everyone's like, oh, what a great blocker. And I'd always say, the guy's not looking. That's not a great block. I hated Hines Ward, but he was a good physical player, and that's how he got famous. And now we're suspending people for that. And that was five, six years ago.
Yeah, but you had to enlighten me that's an illegal play now. Never
it
used
is,
to be.
It, you're not supposed to jack him up when he's not. If he's clearly
not looking
or not engaged with you or not going to engage.
Because he's a defenseless player.
Right, that's kind of a weird thing. You're gonna supposed to judge where the guy's looking before you hit him in a split second decision.
Right.
I don't know how that's possible. And I mean, it was the idea that he stood over him and looked at him.
That blows my mind. Why would that's taunting, right? If I stand over you and I go, "What? That's taunting." Is that a worse offense than knocking someone out, than rattling their brain? Going maybe hurting your feelings afterwards? Is that worse?
Yeah.
I hate when they think that, if I do a touchdown dance, that was one. Taunting. They punish taunting. Like Baker Mayfield rubbing his groinage, looking at the other sideline. He gets suspended. Meanwhile, people are concussing each other at all times. And it is just, it's like those aren't even issues.
Yeah.
And illegally hitting people that are resulting in concussions, like what we saw from Gronkowski or something else. And it's almost like, we just have this visceral reaction to somebody trying to hurt someone else's feelings by taunting them, and we think that is somehow on the same level as physically.
Well, because they want to create this family image in a violent game.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's a tough sell.
It's a tough sell. So they're like, oh my God, he's telling him to go fuck himself after he jacked him up. It's like, these guys are, need a lot of testosterone. You got to get, when you play football, it's not like you're just like, oh, hey, how's it going? No, you're like, forget you guys. I'm going to fucking kill you. You should see the shit they say on the line. If they mic that up, everyone would get suspended.
Yeah, absolutely. And after this terrible stewardship of the NFL through all these different situations, Roger Goodell somehow lands a 5-year extension.
Yeah, on the day after. Yeah.
Amidst this entire thing, 5-year extension could be worth up to $200 million because, he hasn't fucked up at all. He still deserves the same money and that type of security. Ugh,
it's crazy.
That motherfucker.
The NFL, man, I don't know. I hope it lasts long, but everybody enjoy while you can.
Hey, there is always college football to rely upon.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, yeah. There's always, you can always go back to college football.
I guess. No,
the
I'm
only ju- thing, it's you know, it's unpaid saying, labor, which yeah, is kind just, of annoying.
Right. I'm just saying football in general, man. I don't know how long it'll last, but that's a debate for another day.
Yeah, It's a violent sport, but is it too violent? I don't know. Maybe there are ways to make it less violent, but at the same time, you have UFC exploding specifically because it is violent and skillful and impressive and all that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, we don't need to outlaw violence in movies or sports or competition. There's a place for it sometimes. The place is not on the baseball field. But if you're going to try to make hockey not violent or football non-violent, it's like nobody's going to watch.
Right.
It's going to be over. Hey, how many flag football games do you guys watch? Anyone? Oh, exactly. Zero. Right. Zero. Yeah. So there you go. There's non-violent football right there.
Yeah.
Let's spend a couple other things that have happened around the league since we last checked in with you folks. Ben McAdoo, we spent a fair amount of time, not that much, talking about how terrible he was coaching the Giants, and they agreed. So he's out. Jerry Reese is gone too. Somehow hung on there as long as he did. I don't know how. He was picking losers all across the board. Yes, he got Odell Beckham. I got you on that one. Sterling Shepard. The guy could draft receivers. He got that right.
And safeties.
But running backs, offensive linemen.
Defensive linemen, linebackers. I mean, pretty much everything else.
It was bad. Edge defenders. They always picked up good edge defenders. But a lot of that was before him. He took over in, what, 07, 08? So he only really drafted Jason Pierre-Paul from those edge defenders, you know, OCU Manure and those guys. So he's out. One of the premier jobs, it's definitely not a premier job right now, but one of the premier franchises, you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Is now opened up, and it's going to be a coaching carousel pretty soon. Because I'm looking around, there's going to be at least six more openings.
There always are.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Chicago, Tampa Bay, maybe Denver.
Maybe Miami.
Maybe Indianapolis. I would think Indianapolis for sure. Cleveland, they have to make a move. Oh, my God. Hugh Jackson is 1-27?
Yeah.
As the coach of the Browns, I don't care how little talent you have.
Did you say Tampa?
I did say Tampa. Yeah. Yep. Tampa should be opening up. Maybe even Cincinnati. There could be a whole bunch of them.
Cincinnati should definitely get rid of that talent. Squad is so talented, and they are 5-7? That's awful.
They're not quite that talented anymore. They were.
They're still pretty damn talented, dude.
They are, but they're not the same. You know, when you lose Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones, Andrew Whitworth, they've been getting slowly picked up. Some of the talent's getting picked off those bones.
Yep, and they've never done anything with it. So he should move on. They should get rid of him.
He's been there for 15 years. They should definitely move on. Clearly, it's not getting better.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Who do you think are the best coaching candidates? Obviously, Josh McDaniels is got to be one or two.
I don't really know. I mean, all these guys are so new. You look at all the playoff teams that people usually go to. To
pick their bones?
Yeah, and they're all new teams. Like,
yeah, but not all the coaches are new. Like we've mentioned Jim Schwartz here, defensive coordinator with the Eagles.
He's definitely going to get a job. Like, but you're not going to give Wade Phillips a job.
No,
you're not going to give.
He's too old.
Right, exactly. So that's kind of what I mean. I don't know the coordinators for Minnesota.
Oh, Pat Shermer's going to get a job.
ZO coordinator?
Yeah, offensive coordinator. He's turning in Case Keenum's a top five MVP candidate at this point.
Probably,
yeah. It's like Brady, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, Case Keenum. I don't. Todd Gurley, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, those are the only two guys I could think of.
And then
that would get something, but yeah,
it could be. It could be Josh McDaniels' time. Maybe, maybe even Patricia.
Maybe. I don't know. Doesn't seem like they want to move on.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that way at all.
But we'll see. What else do we got? So we got
Jimmy G looked pretty good, huh?
I didn't see much of it, did he?
Jimmy G's a player. He almost went for 300 yards, yeah.
He didn't score any touchdowns, though.
Squeak out a win. So what? Squeak out a win against Chicago, who Mitchell Trubisky, still not that good. John Fox is definitely getting canned, 100%. He knows it. Everyone knows it.
Oh, yeah.
They need a fresh start up there.
They suck.
I guess we can start with the Thursday night game. Dallas really took it to Washington. Dallas came back when we all thought they were totally toast.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota squeaks one out against Atlanta. Minnesota is making a case to be the number one team in the NFC. It's what them and the Eagles are both 10-2 right now, right?
Yeah.
So they're right up at the top there.
Mm-hmm. You got the Titans still making their case, beating the Texans. The fucking Jets, dude, beat the Chiefs.
I know. The Chiefs,
they're
it's
six
like
and
they
six.
Don't even exist anymore.
They lost the lead of the division, and now it's a three-way tie in that division. Well, oh,
because the Raiders are 6-6 now too.
The Raiders and Chargers.
The fucking Chargers were 0-4.
I mean, I don't know who owns the tiebreakers, but
there's more divisional games to play. You can't figure that out yet.
But it's just like, holy shit! You guys had a fucking 4-game lead on that. You blown
it.
I
know. Josh McCown got Offensive Player of the Week against the Chiefs defense. That's how bad their defense is. Josh freaking McCown put up 38 on them.
Ridiculous. The Broncos continue to fall apart. The Dolphins put up 35 on that defense. That's a team that put, 10 or 13 up against us?
The Broncos? Yeah.
The Dolphins, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Something along those lines. Let me check. The Broncos have never been this bad. Broncos put up 16 on the Pats, and the Dolphins got 17.
Jesus.
This is the worst I've ever seen the Broncos franchise. And that's a team that drafted second overall a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And by a couple, I mean like six.
You got the Jaguars continuing to make their case for the playoffs against the Colts. Packers are sticking around, man. They got 26. Aaron Rodgers is back, and they just beat the Bucks.
I know, right? They're at 6-6 also.
No, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to play this week or next week, but he is coming back for the last couple of games.
He's already practicing.
Is he going to play, though?
Not this week. It's a whole timing thing with the IR.
Yeah.
I think you have to sit out like 8 weeks, maybe.
Right.
It's a while, but you can practice.
He's going to probably play the last
two
or three games of the year, and he might get them into the playoffs. That'd be hilarious.
If they can get one more, the unfortunate thing for them is they play in the NFC, which has so many better teams.
Right.
If he was in the AFC, you're in at 9-7. You're in flat.
Mm-hmm.
So they really need a win this upcoming week.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, this NFC where we're like, oh shit, are the Eagles the best team? What about these Vikings? Have you seen the Rams? The Seahawks are charging. And then you bring back in Aaron Rodgers. And if he's playing the same way he was earlier in the season, it is mayhem out there. They're just going to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, it's going to be great, great playoffs for those guys. Continuing on here, you got the Ravens beat the crap out of the Lions. The Lions had a chance because Aaron Rodgers was out of the division, and they have just fallen apart.
Squandering.
Like you said, Jimmy G and the 49ers beat the Bears by a point. Good for them. The Browns stuck around with the Chargers, but eventually lost, unfortunately. The Raiders beat up on the Giants. Not a terrible score, but the Giants just looked ugly. Really good game. The Panthers at the Saints. Saints won it, and Saints basically took the division right there.
Maybe.
It was huge.
Yeah. Still a couple games to go, but yeah, Saints are looking pretty stout.
That's a big one. Rams beat up on the Cards,
obviously,
and then the big one was the Eagles going into Seattle to see how they could play against a really good defense, and they did not perform.
No,
the offense looked bad.
Yeah, it was stagnant. Stagnant.
This is top three offense this year, and you had Chris Collinsworth saying, "Well, it would have been good to see if they still had someone like Darren Sproles." It looks like they're really missing that type of player. It's like they have played unbelievable up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, well, we see a bunch of flaws now. That's all it does. One bad performance and it can all unravel for you.
They rely a lot, in a very similar way that Seattle does. They rely on Carson Wentz to make incredible plays.
Yeah.
And he made one. Did you see that one where he's rolling to his right, getting tripped, throws it like 50 yards downfield? It's like, what? How did you even see anything? How did you physically do that?
Mm-hmm. It was
crazy.
But
they rely on him to be incredible. That's a lot to put on any player, really. It's the same way the Packers rely on Aaron Rodgers to be incredible, and they only have one Super Bowl. They've had one of the greatest quarterbacks ever for 10 years, and they only have one win.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to figure out a way to spread it around. Now, they've run the ball well in other games. And pretty much every other week, but they didn't get that going in this game, and we really saw what happened.
So it seems like everybody in that division, huh? Anyone in that division doesn't have a running game. I mean, the NFC East.
The East?
They fall apart.
As soon as Zeke comes back, I got what you mean, that they rely on it, yeah.
Yeah, they rely on the running game so much that it's like if it's not there, they just can't do anything.
And if Carson Wentz has even a marginally off night, and it they're just really out. Limits them. Yeah.
It's not like, you know, even with the Patriots we've seen in the past, they'll struggle, but still be able to move the ball. They'll gain points. They'll know, it's just not going to be as dominant. Mm-hmm. These guys, it was like they were out of the game.
Yeah, it was just over.
It was just over. And then Monday night, we've already talked a little bit about it. The Steelers beating the Bengals 23-20.
Can't believe they won that game.
Should have been the Bengals game the whole time. They were beating up on them. What we kind of expected as a trap game, and then they just couldn't do shit because they suck and had 170 penalty yards. That's the Bengals. And lost the game. So
yeah.
Literally just lost the game.
Yeah, they bumbled.
They had the ball with 2:30 on their 20 on their own 20 or 30, ready to drive. They went 0-3 and just punted the ball. It's like, you guys are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Gruden was shitting all over him. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's not good what they got going in Cincy, no. But they hung in there. They had it. They had the game in their grasp, and they just gave it away.
It was theirs the whole time.
Yeah,
so terrible. Now we move on. This week we have Miami again. We had them 2 weeks ago. We did talk a little bit about what they did. I mean, my opinion on this hasn't really changed, except that it's in Miami and it's in the heat, which does affect us every year.
Yeah, every time we go down there, it's always a struggle. I don't know how hot it's going to be exactly this time of year, but they play so much better at home than they do on the road, at least when they're playing us.
Mm-hmm.
On the field, it shouldn't be any different than it was last time. Just shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, we went over that, and I mean, because it's so recent, I don't know if anyone wants to hear us talk about, Cooks is going to go off again, and Gronk's not there, but... You know,
well, you would hope that they're going to make some adjustments.
Yeah.
And not let Brandon Cooks do whatever the heck he wants.
Yeah.
That would be smart of them.
Well, or Deion Lewis.
With the way Deion is rolling right now, I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah, you really can't do much. I mean, the guy's getting like 10 yards per carry on some things. He's averaging 5.3 yards per carry this season.
And some of those runs from Deion and Rex last weekend, massive holes. Gigantic holes.
Huge holes. Plus, they'd break the first line of contact, or at least Deion would every time. So no Gronk this week. Hogan
that's
is
one.
That's a big one. I mean, that's a big change. But then you got Hogan coming back, which is certainly not a one for one.
He's at practice. He's practicing. Doesn't mean he's going to play.
Yeah, I think he's going to play a little bit.
He might.
But so you know, take out Gronk, you put in Hogan. Not even close comparison or equivalence. But I mean, we really haven't utilized receivers the last few weeks, so.
Or at least, well, not against the Bills, we didn't.
Yeah, not against the Bills. So throw Hogan in there, I think we'll be okay. I mean, there's really not much to say about Miami. They sucked. We had how many sacks on them last game where they couldn't do anything in the second half?
I believe it was 7 sacks.
I think it was 7, and I think that you're going to see that again. And hopefully Trey Flowers comes back. But yeah,
that
really
rib
just
injury for him.
It's really just the heat, how much the heat affects us. We know Cameron Wake always has a great game down there against us. It's going to be closer, but it's not going to be. I can't see them winning. I can't see Miami beating us.
Yeah, you just brought up Cameron Wake, and that's something we didn't even talk about against the Bills. Cam Fleming at right tackle played just fine. Fine. Our third string right tackle playing
fine.
A-OK.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we get a little bit more depth back at that position this weekend,
mm-hmm.
especially facing Cameron Wake. The Dolphins are coming off that big win against the Broncos at home. Now, the Broncos are terrible right now. Terrible. I bet. Do you think the Broncos could lose to the Browns? I think they could at this point.
They might. The Browns are going to win. I can't see them going 1-16.
I can't.
Yeah.
But the Dolphins got that big win at home by double digits, and now we go rolling in there. They're sitting at 4-7. Their season's essentially over. They got no worries in the world right now. So they that's what kind of worries me. They were definitely very chippy in Foxborough 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
And I worry that they might come in and play right on that edge of dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Yeah.
And they're going to come in with no pressure on them whatsoever.
That's what I've been thinking about for the, like, they lined up these divisional games right at the end because all those teams are going to be doing this.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're going to do. I mean, Gronk did have 2 touchdowns in that first matchup against them.
Yeah.
So we scored 35. They scored 17. 7 of their points was in garbage time. So, you know, take that with what you will. Matt Moore was 23 of 34 for 2 interceptions. Is Jay Cutler playing or is it still Matt Moore?
I think Jay Cutler's going to play.
Okay. Which is even better because we're going to ransack his ass. And he's going to just get killed.
Fair enough. Yeah, the Pats are rolling right now, especially defensively. Even on the road, it really shouldn't be an issue. I said the Dolphins are 4-7. They're actually 5-7. So I think technically they're still within the hunt, but they would need to win all four games remaining on their schedule. And let's be honest, not going to happen.
No, not a chance. What do you think? You got a prediction?
I guess I will predict probably lower scoring when you take away Gronk. And I think the Bills were able to do a couple things against us defensively this week, which might have put some stuff on film that the Dolphins might be able to take advantage of. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll put up about 23 points.
Okay.
But I don't see them scoring more than 9.
I'm going 28-10.
28-10. Nice. Should be a good red zone day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Dominican Sue's scary. He's scary.
Yeah.
This Thursday night game this week, Saints at Falcons. That's a nice one.
It's for the Falcons season, basically.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. Are they still within range of that division? I don't even think so.
I don't think of the division, but wild card.
They can definitely get a wild card.
This is, if they lose this, I think they're done.
Maybe. Both of these teams play in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Both of them.
What do you know that? No, I don't know what that means.
The Saints play in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and the Falcons play in the Mercedes-Benz Georgia Dome. Or I think it might still be called the Georgia Dome. The Mercedes-Benz Georgia Dome.
I did not know that. That is weird.
They're in the same division, sponsored by the same team. What are you doing?
Collusion.
I think so. Yeah. No, hey, BMW, step up your game, all
right? Right. Or Cadillac.
These stadiums.
Let's get an American made.
I was thinking a
fucking car in there.
I was thinking a German one, because the Mercedes German, so you got to have competing interests.
Is BMW? I thought they were English.
No, it's Bavarian.
No.
B.
Oh, the B means Bavarian. I'm sorry.
I think it's
But mean Britain. mean Britain.
I think it's Bavarian Motor Works. Whatever.
All right, fine.
But yeah, moving Saints on. Falcons, it's a good matchup. The Falcons are sitting there at 8-4. 7-5. They're 7-5. Ooh, yeah, they really need this one.
This is it for them. So yeah,
this weekend there's going to be a couple AFC teams who are kind of got their backs against the wall a little bit. The Bills being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Both the Raiders and the Chiefs.
Yeah, a huge one. That is a huge one.
That's a big one. Oakland is riding high after winning the last couple games. I don't believe them. I don't believe them one bit.
Oh, they suck. Once they get to the playoffs. The playoffs in the AFC are going to be dog shit. I'm worried about one team sneaking in, and that's Baltimore.
What about the Chargers?
No, they're not going to do shit.
Chargers played us tough.
They suck, though. they can't win it big. All right,
Baltimore's
anyways.
Defense is legit.
So we talked about the Bills, the Cowboys versus Giants. No one really gives a shit about that one. Lions at Bucks, that sucks. You mentioned the Raiders at Chiefs, which is going to be a great game.
I know Chiefs in that. It's in Kansas City. They haven't done anything defensively.
They have to win it. If they have to lose this and lose the division in a head-to-head, like that'd be ridiculous.
Well, the Chargers are going to win that division.
Probably. You're
Mark
probably right.
Down.
The Niners at the Texans. Let's see what Jimmy G's got. Packers got another layup against the Browns if they can keep rolling as we were talking about.
They need that one.
Got the Bears at the Bengals, which no one gives a shit about. Then you got the Vikings-Panthers. Probably the best 1 o'clock game you got there.
Yep.
Real good game. Playoff contention game. Basically playoff game in general. That level of talent there. Redskins at Chargers. That's a tough one for the old Chargers.
That is. That is.
I think
that's
they're going to lose
it. That's not that easy. You think so?
Lose. Yeah, I think they lose. Redskins are just getting screwed over so much. The Chargers would be the ones that don't screw them over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're nice hosts. They'll lose it in the fourth quarter.
Exactly. You have the Jets at Broncos, which is just an ugly game.
But hey,
the Jets will probably win.
They will. They will win. They'll win handily.
Unbelievable that the Broncos are laughingstock and the Jets are respectable.
Yeah, it's insane. The job that Todd Bowles has done this year has been really terrific.
Very, very good. You got the Titans at Cardinals. Titans should take that, but you never know with them.
Oof.
Eagles
about Philly?
At Rams.
Yup.
That's
yep.
I hope we get to see
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, that's excellent. Carson Wentz against Jared Goff.
I hope that we don't see the Jets-Broncos game and we get to see that. It's on Fox, so there's a good chance we might.
Yeah, we might get lucky that way. Ooh, that'll be what a difficult bounce back game for the Eagles. They got to go on the road to LA.
Rams. This is another playoff game.
Yikes. I wonder if they stayed on the West Coast this last week
because
they were in Seattle. And then Seattle is going to Jacksonville.
It's another good game.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a good test.
Absolutely. Huge game for both of them.
But Seattle's totally different on the road. Different animal.
They're a shade of themselves on the road. And then huge game, Ravens Steelers. Ravens are still somehow in it.
Wow.
After playing awful all year. And here they are again. And the Steelers, I can see the Steelers losing. And I can also see them losing a lot of people in this game again.
After, oh, you think it's going to be a heavy game?
Yeah, absolutely. They always play each other really hard. Shazier already got hurt in a really rough injury, neck injury. That was scary.
That was really scary.
A bunch of other guys got hurt. Big Ben was limping around by the end of the game against the Bengals as well. The Ravens are now looking at 7-5. I mean, they looked awful for the first like 6 or 7 weeks, and here they are.
Yeah, here they are hanging around. Excellent defense. Joe Flacco, average. At best.
Well, I'm just afraid of them in the playoffs because I can see them just being terrible, making it to the playoffs at like 8-8 or, you know, whatever, 9-7, barely squeaking it in the wild card, and then somehow Broadway Joe opens up and goes on a run. Like he was in the playoffs so many years ago where he was unstoppable. He has that potential somehow. I don't know how, but he does.
I know. We've seen it. They are a scary team because they have a good defense that plays us well.
Mm-hmm.
You forget that their defensive coordinator is Dean Pease, who was a longtime Belichick assistant. He was the defensive coordinator with the Pats of just a few years ago, maybe like 10 years ago at this point. And then they also play terrific special teams, usually. All you need is that hot quarterback to make it work.
And they kind of have the guy who just can't play for some reason.
Flacco?
Yeah. He sucked this season. He has been.
Flacco doesn't like playing regular seasons.
He's awful.
He's just not into it.
And then the good old Monday night game against Patriots Miami, which is great. Can't wait to see Gruden.
Gruden going Gruden off.
Talk about the Patriots. Love it.
Does he have a nickname for Brady? You know, he called somebody the sheriff.
That was
he called
some Peyton.
The general was somebody. It was Drew
I think
Brees
he calls
the
Brady the Golden Boy.
I don't like it that much.
I think that's what he calls him.
But
he's changed. He's changed it up over the years.
Oh yeah,
I think so.
He's got some new nicknames.
I think he calls everyone the sheriff now. So, because Peyton's gone, we'll see.
John Gruden will spend a 3-hour broadcast talking about Kirk Cousins. That's how he's just into quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what level they're at.
Yeah,
this guy, that guy.
Look at that pass. Yeah. So that pretty much does it here.
Just about does it. Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy this Sunday of games without the Patriots. You can relax, enjoy it all. Hope that we see some good competition, some breaks that go our way. We're actually going to have to be Ravens fans on Sunday night, I think. It's going to be a weird change. But thanks for tuning in. We will talk to you next week, hopefully after another Patriots victory on Monday night.
Absolutely.
See y'all.
Adios.